some notes.
You gonna trap it up, son? What happened? What is it?
Welcome to Trapo.
Welcome back to the show that talks about traps on purpose.
Bear traps.
Bear traps. like a thirst trap for bears, basically.
Yeah.
The size of that bear's wang doodle.
Who is that, Will Chamberlain?
Give in and become Mr. Baseball. I was like, what? I don't want to be top selling. That's a deep cut. No one knows that one. Why do I remember that? I don't remember fucking half my childhood, but I remember Mr. Baseball. No, please leave. No, he's there. Welcome to Trapo, dear listener.
Dear imaginary listener, welcome to Trapo.
Welcome back, and I'm Dustin.
I'm Kai.
Today, or tonight, whenever you decide to listen or not listen, whatever the case may be, to this exciting episode of Trapo. We're on every platform, basically. Anywhere you listen to podcasts, Trapo, it's there. You're not listening to it, but it's there.
The show that talks about something. What are we talking about tonight?
We're going to talk about stuff on purpose. And today's stuff is, well, it's a pair of albums. You know why? Because we're bringing it back, taking it off the shelf, dusting it off, presenting to you an old-fashioned album. Exchange, that's right, it's happening, it's back. The seven people who listen to Trapo are like, holy shit, the album exchange is back. Well, I mean, it's not time for an album exchange yet, because we've introduced a new wrinkle to the format in season two, and that new wrinkle is, it's not the album exchange, it's just the exchange. We have a pair of things.
A pair of them, yes.
It's recommendations, basically. We just call it the exchange. That's it. It may be a little confusing. The episode is an album exchange, and we're just going to exchange things. I fucked up. This is not a good idea. I guess I'll go first.
Bring it on.
And that something is a motion picture released, I believe, in 2022. I don't know if it's a Shudder exclusive or if it's a Shudder original. I don't know. But it's on Shudder, and it's called Glorious, directed by Rebecca McKendry, who I knew primarily from her podcasting. She hosted a few great podcasts. She has one she's hosting now called All the Colors of the Dark. She's very knowledgeable about the field of horror. She also has a doctorate. She's a very intelligent human being who knows a lot about horror. She's also directed a few movies. The movie she's directed called Glorious stars Ryan Kwanten. You may know him from True Blood. He was, I believe, Sookie Stackhouse's brother.
Mm-hmm.
That was him, the star of Glorious. I'm not going to spoil anything, but it also features the voice of J.K. Simmons. It's pretty easy to spoil the movie. It's a very interesting watch. I can lay out the bare bones of the plot. Ryan Kwanten plays a guy who looks pretty down on his luck. He looks like he's having a pretty rough go of things. Driving around, he looks miserable and tired. He stops at a rest stop. Gets drunk, burns a bunch of things, and goes to the bathroom. He can't leave the bathroom at the rest stop. Whatever he does next in that bathroom may very well decide the fate of all life everywhere. Or maybe not. There's some weird stuff going on. There's a glory hole. There may be cosmic level stakes. There may be some horror. There may be some blood. There may be some action with that glory hole. It's called Glorious. I love that it's called Glorious. Then you realize there's a glory hole in the movie there. Okay, it makes sense. Really good performances. And it's also incredibly funny at times. It knows when to cut the tension with the humor. And it's very clever. I liked it a lot. 79 minutes, by the way. Not a long movie. Glorious, directed by Rebecca McKendry, starring Ryan Kwanten and the voice of J.K. Simmons. Fantastic stuff. I recommend it. I give it 4.5 skulls out of 5. I did nice. Give it 4.5 skulls. I rated it on Shudder. I gave it 4.5 skulls. That's it. I'm done.
All right. Well, my recommendation, a podcast that was posted in the days leading up to Christmas, the 12 days of Christmas, essentially, but they were ghost stories. It's called 12 Ghosts, produced by Aaron Mankey's Grim and Mild. I don't know. Malcolm McDowell is the innkeeper. So he's rambling on in each episode for a little bit. Then he tells a ghost story in one of them. Mysterious, magical inn in the woods. Weary travelers randomly show up and tell their stories. That's a vehicle for cool ghost stories that are winter related, not necessarily Christmas related. But I listened to them all after Christmas, and I thought they were pretty good. Produced in immersive 3D audio. So it sounded good. And they're not crazy long. They were like 20 to 30 minutes long each, which has like a little intro and outro and then a 15 to 20 minute ghost story. I sat out on a cold ass porch in the dark listening to it. Several of them. I would recommend it. Have a chilly night to spend. Listen to a couple episodes.
Like 13 goes. They didn't buy the rights to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to call the Baker's Dozen ghosts, and they wouldn't do that because that's stupid.
And that's dumb. So that is my recommendation. You should check it out.
I'm sure somebody, I hope somebody will. 12 Ghosts, let me look that up.
It's got to be better than Trapo.
Yeah, it's got to be better than whatever the fuck this is. We are in the midst of the exchange, of the album exchange. I'm going to start the exchange by exchanging an album that I'm going to exchange with Kai. He will exchange an album with me in turn. That is how the album exchange works. And we're going to start shit off by exchanging albums, like we exchange numbers and business cards. But I got an album that was released back in the year of our Lord, 2022. But it's an album by people who made it called War by I Speak Machine. That's how it starts. They start the music and, oh man, they get pumped and then they have to get back to us talking. And they're like, oh God, they're talking again. Great.
But these fucking idiots.
Can you just play more music so I don't have to hear you talk anymore? It's like, I wish. If we just literally just played music, they take us off anchor. So I can only play clips. I'm sorry. That's not how it works because we don't own the copyright to War by I Speak Machine. So we can't just play all the music. We can't do it. I wish. I don't have the money. I got like $30 in my wallet. That's not enough. I had more, but I bought I Speak Machine on vinyl, so I don't have any more. But yeah, and never mind. War. I Speak Machine. It is, it's music for people. I mean, I Speak Machine is basically Tara Bush. It's her project. She works in tandem with her partner, Maff Lewis, I believe his name is. They met in 2001. But before that, Tara Bush grew up in Connecticut and North Carolina. She was also in Catholic school. She hated Catholic school. But in the 90s, she went full grunge with her music. She was in a band called Dalai Lama. I've heard some of that stuff back in the day. It was actually pretty good. They didn't last too long. In the late 90s, she kind of fell apart. She worked a lot of bad jobs. She was in a bad way for quite a while. But 2001, she met Maff Lewis. And Maff Lewis actually was the co-founder of a music label called Plastic Ray Gun, which is just a great name for anything. And Maff Lewis is British. By the way, you have to mention that. They got married. They actually started their own band with another fellow named Rowan Terry. They formed a band called Dynamo Dresden, which is an awesome, once again, awesome band.
Good name.
They made one album called Remember. Came out in 2004. More of an electronica outfit than what she was used to. And it was at that point that Bush really kind of fell into the whole electronic movement. She was pretty technology averse for most of her life up until that point. Then she just fell into this. She became obsessed with vintage synthesizers. She started to get deep into the weeds in regards to music production. The reason why she really got into the production side was because she wanted to be able to produce her own music because she felt that she had to do it on her own. As she says, it was really difficult, especially as a woman, because nobody listens to you no matter how hard you shout and how much you strive. So I decided to do it on my own. Unfortunately, I felt a lot of pressure to show that I could do everything myself and that I don't need a man to produce me. She ended up overworking herself. She ended up coming back to America with Maff Lewis in 2009. She put out her first solo album, which she produced herself, called Pilfisher Lane. I love the name of the label that this was released on. It was called Tummy Touch Records. I mean, come on. It's too much. I have not heard Pilfisher Lane, but I would like to. I Speak Machine as musical outfits really started around 2013. Maff Lewis is a visual artist. He made a short horror film called The Silence. Tara Bush created the musical score for the film. She performed the music for The Silence live when the film screened. It was like an old school silent film screening because that's what they used to do. They'd have someone in an organ playing the music while the movie played. That's how the movie The Silence was designed to be seen. The Silence is not a complete experience unless it is being screened in tandem with a live musical performance. The first I Speak Machine album I was aware of was called Zombies 1985. I heard this. I was like, this is really fucking weird and cool. What is this? I didn't know until literally last week that this is the soundtrack to another short film directed by Maff Lewis. I didn't know this is the soundtrack to a movie called Zombies 1985. I didn't know. As far as her musical output with I Speak Machine, that was it until War. And War didn't get started until 2017. It was a little over 4 years in the making trying to build the music itself. Based on what the music encompasses and all of its themes, it is the culmination of a lifetime. It's not just 4 years, it's Tara Bush's entire life. she started really pushing herself in some pretty unfamiliar territory in the production cycle for War, working, I mean, deep with synthesizers. She also kind of went back to her roots. She goes grunge, she goes punk at times, but she also has a very abiding love for cinema, for horror cinema in particular, and for theater. A lot of her performances are very cinematic, very arch. She leans into the theatricality. Once again, that's on full display in a lot of the music that you hear in War. She's playing characters. She goes broad. There's also still an emotional heart to a lot of the music that doesn't get lost in the performance. There's a lot of shit going on behind the scenes of War in terms of how the music was crafted, what went into the actual themes of the record. I mean, it's her life. She dealt with alcoholism, her early years, going to Catholic school, basically being completely miserable, being fucked over by organized religion. And from the election of Donald Trump, she was so disgusted by the election of Donald Trump and everything that kind of came out of that in terms of this kind of rise of the alt-right, new authoritarianism rearing its ugly head, not just here in America, but kind of across the world. The anxiety of that moment is on full display at times in the music as well. It's not just the political atmosphere, the war and all this turmoil happening in the world. It's also her own life between her alcoholism, which laid her low for quite a while, dealing with her mental health. She would have serious panic attacks that once she was literally bedridden for weeks. She could not leave her bed. Heavy shit. She poured every bit of that, all that anxiety and the fear and the rage she kept inside of her fucking head. She poured it all out with War. I think it's a form of exorcism, which, you know, you can kind of hear that. Let's rise up and they're gonna kill again. But it's not all wailing anger. There's a lot of gentleness and tenderness as well in the music, which I think is really good. This is regarding the production of War. I wanted to do something that was just through my eyes, not anyone else's. The big thing was just trying to not give a fuck and get rid of inhibitions. And I wanted to shout my head off a little bit too. And you know, sure, I get it. Really, the point is the album itself is kind of a culmination of where her life has taken her over the decades. She really dug deep in terms of her own life experiences. If you just look at the lyrics and you don't read anything else into it, you don't know who Tara Bush is, you might not see some of that on display. That's kind of the point of art. It's subjective.
It's subtle, maybe.
She has her own perspective and her own life experience she pours into the music, but she's not doing this in a way where she's trying to bang you over the head.
Head banging, but different.
She's channeling the anxiety and the anger and the fear that she's experienced her whole life, and she's channeling it into this music in a more general way to kind of exorcise her own demons and maybe help the listener, if they're in the right mindset, exercise their own demons. Like, you can listen to this music, and if you don't understand her own struggles with addiction, if you don't understand her own mental health struggles with organized religion, that doesn't matter. It's the music itself that really matters. The message is the music. I think it works really well in that regard, even if you don't know anything about the actual history of I Seek Machine or of Tara Bush. It doesn't matter. I can offer you these stories as context, because I think it's interesting enough, because that's the whole point of the show. We can talk about whatever you want. I want to tell you a little bit about Tara Bush. I think she's an interesting human being. You don't need to know this to enjoy the music. Don't feel like, oh, this is about Donald Trump. I don't really hear that. You don't need to hear that in the song. It's metaphorical. Do you understand? You understand how art works? The thing is, and this is a thing I didn't know until I actually looked it up. Tara Bush is actually very talkative. Unlike a lot of other artists that we may talk about from time to time. So guess what? If you want to know very specific information about this album, you can find that information very easily. It is out there. So I'm not going track by track and try to break down. I would encourage you as a listener to try to find this information. You know what? The best resource, the first resource, go to the I Speak Machines Bandcamp page. There's a lot of text on there. There's text for every track. There are interviews. There's a lot of good stuff out there if you actually want to learn more about this music. That's a better way. You know, you don't even need to listen to this podcast, really. You can just go find that and read that, and you'll probably enjoy it more of this podcast. But, I mean, this side of the podcast. I don't know what the fuck Kai's going to talk about in 7 hours when I'm done talking. But I'm sure it'll be exciting. Like, the title track, it's called War. It's simultaneously about Tara Bush's anxiety about Donald Trump when this son of a bitch came into the White House, and it's about her own struggles with addiction because it's a war. get it? Is it heavy-handed enough for you, dear listener? Is that too much? Addiction is a war. Is it okay? But there's a lot of fucked up music on here when you really break it down. Beat Down by Heaven, almost completely about her struggles with Catholicism. Beat Down by Heaven. Beat Down by Heaven.
The first two songs didn't really draw me in, but Beat Down by Heaven really definitely drew me in. And it has a really cool synth outro that's like a minute and a half, 2 minutes long.
Just relax for like a minute. Don't worry about it. Just zone out and enjoy the outro. Dirty Soul, that's her basically giving the middle finger to the Catholic Church. She's perverted. She's sinful. She's basically saying, fuck you. Once again, if you want to look this up, she goes off on every track about all the different synthesizers she used to help make this music. She's glad to talk about it. She's not vague about it. She goes into detail. She goes into the nuts and bolts of putting this music together. I mean, look, I'm not an expert in any of this stuff. I can tell you that on Dirty Soul, she worked with a Rhythm Ace drum machine. Does that mean anything to me? No. I don't know what that is. It sounds cool. A Rhythm Ace drum machine? She used it to make this music that, I mean, ruined me once again. It's about Catholicism, yeah. Like, is ruining me. It's destroying me. But I love that line. Oh, yeah. Okay. I See You. It's a very melancholy song. Her best friend's twin sister died in a car crash. If you listen to it in that context and you realize there's a true sense of tragedy behind it, I recognize your loneliness and your pain. That's like a real emotion trying to tug at my heart. I just was thinking this is going to be like throbbing chaos and madness, but then it decides to try to make you feel real things. Until I Kill the Beast, once again, it ends the whole album. I think it's a very beautiful vocal performance from Tara Bush. And she did it all in one take. Very cool. She added this song at the last minute because she thought there needed to be a coda. She didn't want it to end with Rats Rise, even though I really like that song. I like that Rats Rise Up. Oh my God,
Rise Up.
The last line of that song when she screams, Rats Rise Up! She fucked her voice up for like a week when she screamed that into a microphone.
Using that take for sure.
Yeah, you're using that take. She didn't want it to end with that. She wanted there to be some tenderness to the end of the album. So Until I Kill the Beast ends up as kind of a lullaby. In her words, she says, this tune was me trying to forgive myself for all the drama and to provide comfort in the moment. It's this lovely little way to end the album. And I think her vocal performance is very tender. It's ethereal. It has a very interesting kind of Julie Cruise quality to it. Feel seemed like she felt self-conscious about it. Like, she doesn't usually lay herself bare in terms of her musical performances. She'd rather just be kind of yelling. She prefers to be aggressive, I think. When she does stretch herself and you really feel her range as a vocalist, I just like that there's a spectrum of vocal performances here. It's not just one thing. You get peaks and valleys. You didn't need to do that. She could have gone arch the whole time and I would have been fine with it. I would have still enjoyed it. But instead, she decided she wanted to give listeners more complete experience, and I think that made the album better overall. But my favorite track is Santa Monica. I Speak Machine is a collaborative effort. Tara Bush is the musician. Maff Lewis, her partner, being a talented visual artist, helps to bring the music of I Speak Machine to life through a series of music videos. The one for Santa Monica, I think it's the best because it also seems to tell a very unique and interesting story. It's very specific. It's very specific for Tara Bush because she has this obsession with Judy Garland. She had an obsession with Judy Garland's later performances, kind of over-the-hill chanteuse performing on television and on stage. You can watch her performances. Tara Bush was entranced by this stuff. There was a beauty to it, and that's kind of where Santa Monica goes. The character Tara Bush portrays in that song, she says it could have been her in another life. It's this kind of Judy Garland star falling into a very deep despair. She's in a rut. Her life is falling apart. She's drug addicted. She's self-destructing. Maybe she doesn't really see how loved she is by the people, by the world. The reality is too depressing, so she sinks deeper into addiction. She imagines this party that never ends. That's what it is. But the problem with the party that never ends is that it always ends. And eventually you're the last person at the party and you just never left. And that's what the character is. If you listen to the song, that's precisely what the song is. It's a character who is trying to self-destruct. And there's a romanticism. There's a a romantic nihilism in terms of the performance. All she wants to do is dissolve back into this place that she loves. Disappear into Santa Monica. This imagined place where the party never ends. Everyone's beautiful. Everything's lovely. You got a martini in your hand. You're having a good time. The greatest verse in this entire album. I can see the beach, the dolls with broken feet. I tried my best. The ice too heavy on my chest. That's the whole fucking song right there. I just want to go back. It's like going back into the womb. In her head, the character walks into the ocean and disappears. Kind of like the way that James Mason commits suicide at the end of A Star Is Born. In her head, it's not suicide. It's, I'm going back home. It's romantic nihilism. Beyond that, just her sheer performance in the song, her vocal performance is arch and bizarre. I just think it's beautiful. I think it's genuinely beautiful. I think Santa Monica is the centerpiece of the album for me because there's so much going on under the hood. It's not like the fucking Everclear song, although in a way it's kind of, I mean, if you think the lyrics of the Everclear song, it says, we can live beside the ocean. It's kind of similar.
There's a bit not of that different, really.
No.
Yeah.
In this version, it's just this character self-destructing, falling apart, and she retreats back into this fantasy in her head as she's killing herself with drugs and alcohol. All she wants to do is dissolve back into this imagined perfect place. Into the acid rain, onto my face, erase me. Just make me disappear. I think Santa Monica is the core of the album in that sense because that's a feeling that Tara Bush felt many times in her life, and it's something that she had to struggle to get through. She got over it, and I think this album, it's proof that Tara Bush grew as an artist and as a human being. She paid her fucking dues. She got through the worst parts of her life, and now she's in a much better place, and now she's ready to let go of some of that baggage. That's what this represents. And you don't have to know that to enjoy the music, but I think knowing that context actually helps. I don't think that's a bad thing to know what the artist is going through in terms of their life in making the music, because it enriches it for me. If I like something, I want to know more about it. And if I want to know more about it, sometimes I try to know as much as I can. Then I join a cult eventually, accidentally. I think that it works beautifully. I like I Speak Machine. I like Tara Bush as an artist. I just wanted to share that with our imaginary audience. I mean, she just released that covers album called Black Rabbits. Great stuff. She also has a greatest hits album. It's not a greatest hits album, technically. It's a compilation album called Burn the Witch.
I don't know. I just think it's cool.
I agree with that.
I think it's awesome. But yeah, I like War by I Speak Machine, which is really cool. Name just regardless. It's very avant-garde.
It's not trying to be mainstream. It's not impenetrable music. I listen to stuff you can classify it as music in a broad term. You know, it's weird shit. People just, I don't know what else to call it. It's more like performance art. Yeah, this is not, I mean, it's not mainstream. Although a lot of the music, there's no reason why it couldn't be played on the radio, except that, you know, radio programmers are cowards.
Well, yeah.
They're not going to play interesting music when they can play Desperado for the 700. This time. Maybe it'll never attract a wide audience, but I don't think Tara Bush gives a shit. It's about personal satisfaction. Hey, someone else listens to this and they think it's cool? Fantastic. I'm so glad it works for you.
I noticed you didn't mention the Johnette Napolitano cover, Bloodletting.
Yeah, Bloodletting, yeah. That's actually on the soundtrack to Jacob's Wife. She remixed it for War because she thought, I mean, she admits herself that it may not necessarily fit with the rest of the album, but she liked it so much she wanted to include it. I think it's a great cover, honestly. I really do. I thought it was great in Jacob's Wife. I like it a lot. I didn't mention it because it was a cover. I'm glad you mentioned it. You know, it's good music. And if you've never heard Bloodletting before, you don't know the Concrete Blonde, you probably wouldn't know that this was somebody else's song.
Yeah, I was going to say. I knew by the title, but if I just hit play and hadn't looked at any of the song titles, it probably would have blended right in. I wouldn't even have noticed.
But yeah, I think War was a cathartic experience for Tara Bush. It's something I keep coming back to. That's praise for me, because I don't come back to something unless I really enjoy it. So, I mean, sure, I listened to it like 20 times. So, great. I like War by I Speak Machine. I think Tara Bush is a fascinating artist and individual. That's it. I'm done. What the fuck? What? What?
I don't know. What? You want to fight me?
You're in California. I can't fight you. I can't reach through the phone and fight you.
Well,
I don't have those powers yet. I've tried. I've tried to do it, but it doesn't work.
This is a, trust me, I've tried. I don't know. I liked it. If you're in the right mood, it just kind of draws you along. It's pretty good. I enjoyed it.
Was that in your notes, too?
No.
Oh, okay.
Unlike the album you brought to Exchange, I had a difficult time finding out info about this album because it's from France. And I don't know French. And a lot of the things I looked up were written in French. And I didn't feel like translating them. But this is an album called ECHT, E-C-H-T, by a group called La Colonie de Vacances.
Vacances. La Colonie de Vacances.
Vacances. Means like the holiday colony or like the vacation colony.
It's a French term that informally translates to summer camp.
Yeah, it's sort of a collective of four French bands that apparently met doing some sort of a weird art installation, kind of befriended each other and made this weird ass album.
Yeah, 10 years later.
10 years later. Yeah. Apparently they met at this gallery and the four different bands were lined north, south, east, west, and the audience was in the middle of them. If they played anything remotely similar to this album, I want to be in the middle of that fucking four-way. That's cool.
That's not just a one-time thing. That's how they perform. It's a quadraphonic show.
Yes, quadraphonic show.
Papier Tigre, Electric, New, and Marvin. It's just four bands, each of them on one stage, you in the middle, and they're just assaulting you with music. That's how La Colonie de Vacances existed as a band for a decade. And then they decided, hey, you know what? Let's make an album. And they did. Summer Camp made an album.
French Summer Camp made an album. Fucking cool and weird and chaotic. Slide under, slide under, slide under, slide under, slide under. Oh. form of weird jazz rock, just weird shit happening. There's not a rhythmic pattern half of the time. There's one that shows up and then it turns into something else, and then some weird electronic distortions come in and everything gets fucked up and goes crazy. It's fucking enjoyable. I don't know. I heard about this on a, someone mentioned it on a podcast. I don't know. It came out January 2022. I'm not going to talk about it for 3 hours.
I was asking you to talk about it for 3 hours.
I don't know. There's a song called Multitude of Snakes, which is pretty fucking awesome. I like the title. I like snakes. I like a multitude of snakes. Just not on a plane.
We don't want monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane.
I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane!
Four bands playing music together. I don't know, half the songs have like six guitarists. Multitude of Snakes is like a fucking horror movie. I feel like an entire horror movie happens within the like 4 minutes of that song. Kind of like Crease. The song ZZZ, Electric Bongos. Electric Jungle Bongos. That's in my notes.
You wrote down Electric Jungle Bongos?
Sort of. I don't know. I think my favorite song is Spectral, which is kind of silly because it's only 2 minutes long. Fucking distortions. I like it.
With an instrumental, like half the music on here. And then sometimes it's like, oh, this song has lyrics. Oh, but it's 8 minutes long and the lyrics come in the last 2 minutes.
It's mostly just some dudes screaming too.
I didn't recall any genuine yelling, really. Well, the lyrics are all very clear, but they're also, for whatever reason, despite the fact that all of these people are French, they decided to record the lyrics in English. And you can tell when you listen to them sing, they don't really know how to speak English all that well. Different rhythm. I'm not too sure about this.
Yeah, it definitely sounds kind of odd.
My dreams are bored, Alex. All right, great. What?
Yeah,
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. My dreams are bored, just sitting there. Okay. Where's the mystery? I can hear the abyss, and I hope to stay till my eyes look at a brighter sun. I think I get it. There's a barrier there.
Yeah, I feel like in French it would probably sound beautiful and flowy. Right,
that's my point.
Which maybe that's their point. Yeah, it didn't really bother me, but I didn't really read into the lyrics a lot.
I wasn't reading into anything. I was hearing the lyrics. I just heard them. I heard what the guy said. I thought, huh, that's odd. I wasn't trying to analyze this. I'm just saying, hey, you know, that sounds a little odd. It's like I thought Alex Weir was like it was good, and then it just kept going.
Yeah. The first 3 minutes would make a pretty cool song. By minute like six or seven, however fucking long it was, I was like, okay.
Can you wrap this up? No? No, we can't? Okay. A lot of math rock, avant-garde kind of experimental math rock.
Definitely some of that. Maybe this album would have been better for a good Greater Garbage. Well, it's too late for that. We already talked about it.
Did we? We barely talked about it.
Yeah.
You picked this album. You did this.
You know, I'm having like color grade regret about my album choice.
Yeah, it can't be that bad for you.
No, it's not like it's bad. I listened to it again today and I was like, it's a bunch of weird avant-garde math rock shit, like you said. And that's, I don't know if I have a whole lot more to say about it.
It's okay. I'm not going to complain. Okay, give me 10 more minutes. It's okay. It doesn't really matter.
None of this matters.
They're French, and they perform live quartets screaming at you from four different angles or something. Like, that's it. That's all I know. I don't know who's in what band.
That was the other part. They were all just listed, so I didn't really know. Like, I saw the names of the bands, and then there was just a long-ass list of French names. I wasn't even going to try to pronounce that shit. A lot of the individual tracks, there's a couple that are guitar-heavy. Six names listed under guitar. And then there's a couple that are percussion-heavy, and there's, like, four or five names. Each one has, like, at least two names under vocals, guitar, bass, whatever. So I was like, well, I'm not going to talk about the artists because it'd just be me mispronouncing a bunch of French names for 25 minutes. So instead of butchering their names, I'm just going to say that they made some weird ass cool music that entertained me. But in thinking about it upon my listen today, I was like, you know, this is one of those cool experimental things, but I don't know that I would come back to it a whole lot after I've listened to it a couple of times. So that's more where my regret of choice was. When I listened to it the second time, I was like, oh, maybe I should have picked something better. But it's too late now.
If I could turn back time, if I could find a way.
You know, it is what it is. We can't change things. We just have to move forward with our choices.
That's true. Did you like this album?
I don't know. I mean, maybe. I tried to listen to it twice. The second time I ended up skipping maybe half of the music. I just couldn't get into it. I struggle with this stuff because I like a lot of music that is really fucked up and weird and just challenging.
I think that's one of the reasons I threw it out there, because it's weird and challenging, and it's kind of like a form of rock that I hadn't heard, a conglomeration of all these other things mashed together in like a weird jazz kind of style.
It's freeform and interesting. I respect these four bands for coming together to make this. I like that they had the balls to try to make something like this, capture the vibe of their live performances with this recording. But the problem is, around half the time it felt like I was being assaulted with noise, and there was no payoff to it. It kind of comes across like what you would say. You know, Dean Hurley does a lot of the sound design for David Lynch. He also makes his own music. He makes his own stuff. A lot of it feels like it's, I don't think it is. I don't think they're deliberately aping a lot of Dean Hurley's work. It just seems like they're trying to do something similar. It's trying to be macabre and weird, and then it just kind of feels, oh wait, I just get bored. Because I've heard the good stuff. I feel like you're just trying to ape the masters at some of this. So, but anyway, some of this does kind of feel like it's trying to echo some of John Zorn's compositions. Once again, they're not ripping off John Zorn. They're doing their own thing. If I want to listen to something like this that works for me, I'll listen to Chaos Magic or Naked City. Some kinds of noise work for you and some don't. Overall, this kind of noise didn't work for me. There, I had some highlights, to be sure, but I can't see myself revisiting it. I don't think I have the patience to sit through this again. It's only 39 minutes altogether, but I could spend that 39 minutes listening to something else.
Most of War.
Yeah, most of War. Or I could try to find something else to listen to. Something new, some kind of new frontier. Not to denigrate French summer camp, because I respect them. I respect what they're doing here. About half of it works for me. Unfortunately, that half that worked for me was like half of every song.
That was another thing. The distorted parts were a little too overblown. They could have been 20 seconds instead of a minute and a half.
But hey, you know, somebody's out there thinking, man, shit is awesome. And if that's the case, then great. Let it change your world. Tell us how wrong we are. I don't give a fuck. I was okay with it. I'm not pissed that I listened to it.
Maybe that's one of the reasons I like Spectral. It was 2 minutes long.
Yeah, it didn't overstay its welcome. It doesn't turn into like three different songs before it's over. It just says, I'm making weird noise and I'm out. I appreciate it. Thanks for being succinct for once. I understand the compulsion if you're a bunch of French weirdos making music together to just keep going and going. I get it. But, you know, fuck, you're making an album. Show a little restraint. Does it need to be 8 minutes long? Cut it in half. 4 minutes. It'll have more of an impact. You won't be yawning halfway through the music.
Or turning it down because it turns into blaring, distorted noise.
Oh, that's nothing, Kai. The shit that's going on in fucking act, Kai, come on. You want to hear boring, distorted noise? I can send you some shit. I can sure send you some can. Shit. I can do it. I may.
Probably will. And I'll probably listen to it.
I keep that for myself because I hate myself. I'll never put that on Trapo. La colonie de vacances. Act. Oh. come down to the music. I don't want to be an asshole. It's fine. I enjoyed half of it. I would like to see you live. I want to be assaulted
by this music live. I want to sit live in the middle of that four-way and get blasted by your audio waves. But
that's like some you're talking about. What the fuck's going on there? Martin? Good job. I want Martin to come over my face with his wizard guitar.
Martin Luther or King?
Martin Luther the King Jr.? Whatever, act. What the fuck is act? What is act?
I put that into the French translator and it didn't say, it said act. So.
We figure that mystery out. I'm gonna censor all that. Cut it all out. I'm out. It's out.
It's on the floor.
It's on the cutting room floor. Along with Nancy. Oh my god. I'm going to hell. I'm going to hell.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hell yeah, we high five for days. Guess what? We did it, right? We talked about act from the Colony of Vacancies, or whatever the fuck it was called. French Summer Camp. That's right. They made an album, and you should listen to it. And then
tell us what you think. Tell them what you think.
You know, we didn't do. We didn't ask the big question, because I think we need to ask the big question. You know, you talk about life, the universe, and everything. There's a bigger question. The big question.
Do aliens have enough music to do off to?
They're never going to have enough music to get off to, Kai. That's the problem. Those fuckers are insatiable.
That's why we're blasting it off.
They're like pigs to the slaughter, baby. They're coming and staking our music. God damn.
So,
what are we talking about?
What do you think? You think that the War by I Speak Machine should be in the Trapo Essentials canon?
I think I made my feelings clear. For me, it stood the test of time already. I think it's great. I'll say fucking great. I'll say it. I'll say fucking. I'll put the fuck in great.
Oh, would you say astounding?
Is it astounding? That takes a lot. I don't know. You can hate me, but my heart says yeah. I think this is astounding. For me, personally, in my own opinion, I think War is astounding. I fucking love this shit. Yeah. Okay. It's astounding. I think War is astounding. I would put it in the canon.
Well, I don't know that I would, because I think there's some tracks that were rather forgettable and skippable for me.
Yeah, but you picked Act.
Right, which we don't even need to vote on, because it's not going to be in the canon.
Hey, you don't know, we didn't vote.
Oh, okay. But do you want me to make a decision, or do you want to put it up for a vote?
Like, if you say no, I'm putting it up for a vote. So I don't give a shit either way. I know how I feel about it. I wonder how our 7 listeners feel about this. So
okay, we can do that.
I knew as soon as I said it, you were going to say no. So it's fine. I knew this was coming the second I decided to start talking today. I think it's great. And we'll put it up for a vote. Somebody might listen to it, and they might say, hey, you know what? You're wrong. And then I'll put it in the can anyway, because fuck you. I don't give a shit. I will fucking put my thumb on the scale. I'll kill all of you. I don't care. I'll find you in your houses. I'll poison your food. I'll poison your dogs. No, not your dogs. Your dogs are great.
So I kidnap your dogs.
Yeah, well, they can live with me. New daddy loves me more because he gives me more bones. And you go, yeah, you get more bones when you're a new daddy. Oh my god, no, that was wrong. She was so wrong. You get more bones with new daddy. I'm gonna cut all that out. I vote no on X, because I don't like it. I like some of it. I want to see him live, but no, that's not going to canon. I'll put that in the real canon. And shoot at a wall. But yeah, okay, it's great. So we've resolved precisely nothing today. This will come up for a vote, whatever the fuck this goes live in May. 7 people will vote on it. Let's be like,
well, you know, I listened to 2 songs and I thought it was dog shit, so it's not in the canon.
And then you know what? I'll just cancel Trapo at that point. And there's no reason. I'll just fill this whole thing in a fucking shit heap. You wait till you hear that episode, you can track me down and I will smack you. But yeah,
you can drag me down. I like your laziness. Well done.
Yeah, I'm not going to find this asshole. You can find me. You can do the work, and then I will smack you. I don't want to come down on us, but on this depressingly low-energy episode of Trapo, we talked about some stuff, maybe. Dear listener, you can vote. We're going to have a poll up, and you can vote. You get to decide whether or not War by I Speak Machine is inducted into the Trapo Essentials canon. So that's exciting news. Don't disappoint me, otherwise Trapo is canceled. If these fuckers can't put I Speak Machine in the canon, I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm going to fucking put that in the fucking trash can.
I'm pulling the trigger on the canon.
I'm jumping in the canon. I'm going. They can drag me in space. They can.
They get off to my desiccated space corpse. I don't want to die, so don't kill me. Don't put me... I don't want to die in space. You know, just put I Speak Machines War in the canon. Do it for me. Do it for Dustin. That's me. I'm Dustin. He's Kai. But do it for me. Kai doesn't give a shit. Kai's checked out. He checked out 3 hours ago. It's true. It's always true. All that's left to say, dear listener, is that, look, this may have been one of the worst conversations we've ever had, but we would like you to join it. Join this conversation. Join this sinking ship that is Travo.
We're going down fast.
We are taking on water. We need somebody to help bail us out. Somebody get a bucket and start bailing. But yeah, you can join the conversation. Visit the official Trapo blog, traposhow.blogspot.com. Leave a comment. Tell us what you think about this episode. Tell us what you think about French Summer Camp, the musical collective, or actual French Summer Camp. Is that a thing? They have summer, right?
Wonder if Max Power's been to a French summer camp.
That's like a sex euphemism.
Oh, yeah, I've done plenty of French summer camps.
Oh, God, tell us all about it. 40 paragraphs. But yeah, tell us what you think about French summer camp. Tell us what you think about I Speak Machine. Tell us what you think about what you had for breakfast yesterday, the state of the world. Tell us what you think about the moon, astrology. I don't give a shit.
What's on your mind?
Spill your guts. You know, not literally. Don't commit seppuku on our blog. I mean, also, don't be a bigot. Don't be a piece of shit. Aside from that, you know, tell us what you want. It's a blog. And when you type a comment, please don't be anonymous. Make up a name. Anything. I don't give a shit. Just type numbers or letters.
Take the time.
Please, for the love of God. Not anonymous meat sack. You're fine. You're good.
Yeah.
We don't know what they are. They're a sack. They're a meat sack with no name. I've been through the desert on a sack with no name.
You can also send us an email, but you won't. TrapoShow@gmail.com. TrapoShow@gmail.com. Tell us whatever the fuck you want.
You know what? That's it. This episode will probably never even make it. I'll probably just throw it in the trash. This episode was just the worst thing ever. So listen to it. Don't listen to it. Put I Speak Machine in the cannon or I'll fucking kill you. And get the fuck off the internet. After you vote. Not before. After you vote. Vote first. Then get the fuck off the internet. Man, this is how civilization started. Some sexy lady was like, I want to teach the caveman how to do reverse cowgirl. He's going to like it. And then we're going to fucking do language in the wheel. That's how civilization started, reverse cowgirl. Baseball comes after that.